I don't know if Jesus feeding the little girl makes you hungry. I'll try not to keep this too long. But he will nourish us, first of all, with his word and sacrament. I was in Toledo, Ohio, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for the Encounter Conference. Encounter Ministries runs a two-year school, both in person and online, teaching people about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how to receive them and activate them in your life for the building up of the church. There were 3,500 people there, probably over 100 priests, praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit like at Pentecost. And many people received miraculous healings, both physical and spiritual. Christ desired that his powerful works continue after his ascension. He never desired a weak church, but one clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit to heal and speak words of knowledge and witness to the name of Jesus, not only to the ends of the earth, but to the end of time. I hope to encourage some of you to go through the Encounter School here in the days to come. In our second reading today, St. Paul is writing about a collection that he's taking up among the Greek Christian communities to support the Christian community in Jerusalem, not unlike what we're trying to do today with Blessed Art, except we don't speak Greek. St. Paul reminds the Corinthians of the graces that they have received from God. They excel in faith, in discourse, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in the love that we have for you. They have graces from God, and they have the grace of love from Paul representing the church. And having received graces, they must be willing to share graces. At the end of the reading, Paul quotes from the book of Exodus, which sounds strange to us out of context. Whoever had much did not have more. Whoever had little did not have less. It refers to God instructing the Israelites in the wilderness during those 40 years to collect only enough manna for one day at a time. Some of them were better gatherers than others. So Moses would take all that they gathered and measure it out for everyone, enough for one day. Now, some tried to hoard away a little bit of extra because they didn't quite trust, or they just wanted more. And on the second day, what they had, the extra they had gathered, would turn out to be wormy and rotten. God wants us to have just enough. St. Paul is telling us that as we strive to be good stewards, some of us are better gatherers, better producers than others. So we need to bring some of our production. The church doesn't say all of it, but that we strive to bring 10% to the Lord through the church. And our material abundance will supply the material poverty of others. And the material poverty of others brings spiritual wealth to us who give. Keep striving to grow in the spirituality of stewardship. In the gospel, we see Jesus exercising his spiritual gifts of healing and raising from the dead, gifts which are still active in the church today. Otherwise, this gospel has no point, because it's never just about history. In fact, the gospel is teaching us how to call forth the healing power of Jesus in our lives. First, notice the crowds. When Jesus gets out of the boat, a large crowd immediately gathers around him. And then when he starts walking to the house of Jairus, they follow. This whole crowd follows and they press upon him. These people are desperate to be near Jesus, to see him, to touch him. How desperate are you to hear Jesus' teaching, to know his presence, and to be touched by his power? Then there's Jairus. This man knows what he needs and is desperate to get it. He doesn't just come to Jesus with a hesitant request. If you're not too busy, it's not a burden for you, can you come and say a prayer over my daughter? I'm sure it would be a great comfort to her. No! Jairus falls at Jesus' feet and pleads earnestly with him, begs him not just to come and talk to his daughter, but to lay your hands on her so that she may get well and live. Jairus is teaching us how to come to Jesus with humility, with eager boldness, and with an intentional need. Next, look at the woman. She's been sick for 12 years, continually seeking healing to the point of having nothing left. She's destitute, rock bottom. But she's teaching us about perseverance, persevering in prayer. If I don't get what I want, I can tend to give up. Well, I guess Jesus doesn't want to answer me today. But if it's a good prayer, then of course he wants to answer it. But for his own mysterious reasons, he's kept this woman searching for 12 years before he answered her. Notice the disciples, they think they know what's going on, but they don't. They're making fun of the master. You see this crowd, and you ask, who touched you? Are you touched? What's going on with you? But notice Jesus didn't say, I don't know who touched me. He knows. And he's calling her forth to complete her healing. And then the woman teaches us how to approach Jesus with fear and trembling, with humble and obedient expectation. And she tells him the whole truth. When you go to Jesus with your request, tell him your whole truth. I'm angry. I'm afraid. I'm frustrated. I'm doubtful. I'm mean. I hold grudges. I'm hurt, and I don't want to forgive. I have anxiety. What is it? Tell him your whole truth. And then he'll address you as daughter, as son, because you've come to him as a little child. Finally, messengers come to say that your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer? Notice they think he's only a teacher. And Jesus disregards their message. He ignores it, and he tells Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. When we bring our petitions to the Lord, we should strive to put aside our fears and to strengthen our faith. Jesus enters the house, and there's a commotion of weeping, and he's perplexed because he's the Lord of life coming to wake up this little girl, this sleeping girl. They shouldn't be crying, but eager, stirring up their faith in expectation of what Jesus is going to do. The master is here. What's he going to do? This is cool. But they have no faith. Instead, they ridicule him, which prompts him to cast them out. There's no room for unbelief, let alone ridicule, when persevering faith is what calls forth the miracle. Before you fall at Jesus' feet, earnestly pleading with him, begging him for your prayer request, cast out any demons of doubt. Cast them out, just like Jesus did with the ridiculing women. And then, surrounded by people of faith, who are eagerly expectant of Jesus' power, he says, little girl, I command you, arise. And he raises her from the dead. Here's the homework for the week. What is the absolutely most important thing that you need from Jesus this week? Stir up your faith and your courage. Cast out the doubts. In the name of Jesus, spirit of doubt, be cast out. Fall at his feet and beg him earnestly and perseveringly to act with power on your request so that the church may be built up.